We're back with the 920 podcast, a special opening day edition. Happy opening day to everyone. Charlie, I see your look of disgust as the Nationals are already down 3-0 to the Braves.
3-1, sir.
Oh, three. Who got the run?
It was Dom Smith, I think.
Dom Smith. The starting first baseman for the Nats.
Yeah, it was Dominic Smith, and then it was Alex Call that hit the sack fly to get him in, but we did strand a runner on third.
Well, we have lots to talk about in the MLB. We'll save that for another podcast. We'll touch on some MLB bets before the show ends, but right now we're going to get into – what we're here to do, talk about the 920 podcast, college baseball, Tennessee Vols. There's a certain matchup going on tonight that involves two guys that are actually more than two guys, but two guys on the mound that are going to be in the MLB very, very soon. Probably the most highlighted pitching matchup in college that I can think of. I mean, this is – these two and Paul Skeens and Chase Dolander, you probably have to go back to Garrett Cole about a decade ago in terms of college pitcher and excitement surrounding an MLB prospect. Charlie, the Vols head to Baton Rouge tonight, to the box. They've got a big-time series against the number one Tigers. What are you looking forward to the most in this series?
I mean, what a loaded question, really. What can you not look forward to with this series? You know, I was talking about it some on the radio this week, but for the first time in what feels like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but since that the Texas game in the first weekend of the season a year ago, for the first time since then, like, Tennessee is legitimately an underdog. And not just like maybe like a slight underdog or not just maybe like, hey, this is a toss-up. Like, Tennessee is – the lesser thought of team going on the road to face, you know, a couple of guys that could go 1-2 in the MLB draft. And not only are you the underdog, but given, you know, Tennessee's success the last couple of years and, you know, given the way that success was handled both by the team and by the fans, you know, we like to let some people hear about it. And, you know, I like letting people hear about it too, but a lot of those teams that we let hear about it, hey, they – want to get back at you. You know, they've been waiting. They've been gnawing at the bit to get their chance, you know, to give it right back to you. And I can't think of a team that wants to give it to you more than LSU. You know, you're booing Paul Menary in his last game. You're harassing Trey Morgan to no end. You know, you're fighting with LSU fans on Twitter constantly. You took over their football stadium too in the fall. So this is going to be hostile. There is going to be some hate in Baton Rouge tonight, Friday night, and Saturday. And that's maybe what I'm most excited for. I want to see how this team responds to such a high-level environment. I want to see if, you know, they play with an edge, if they play with a little bit of a chip, if they start to develop more of an attitude. You know, if they kind of find that, hey, screw you guys, we're killers kind of mentality.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. We'll dive into it with the weekend rotation. Brought to you by Crumble Cookies. And, man, we got – I don't know if we're going to find a pitching rotation on both sides that matches up with what we're going to see this weekend. In terms of the sweets, Crumble Cookie has you covered every single week, bringing the heat. We got the milk chocolate chip back in the rotation.
Thank God.
Yes. The Snickerdoodle cupcake.
Okay.
A s'mores cookie.
Mm-hmm. I love s'mores.
Macadamia nut. And a peanut butter cream featuring Nutter Butter. And then, of course, the classic pink sugar. Charlie, what are you rolling out? What's the play?
I don't know, man.
Well, you going to go traditional or are you going to mix it up?
I mean, I am a chocolate chip cookie guy through and through. Didn't get a chocolate chip cookie last week because we were rolling with the toffee and sea salt instead, which, by the way, was very good. The
monster cookie.
Monster both were delicious. I was going through it last Friday morning after the Vols lost, and those crumble cookies just about saved my life. I might be rolling with the s'mores this week, though. I don't know. I've always been a big fan of s'mores, man. I would consider s'mores like top three dessert on the planet. So I think that's I'm going to go chocolate chips always my Friday night starter, and then give me s'mores on Saturday, and I'm going to try that snickerdoodle for Sunday. I guess Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week.
I'm going with the peanut butter cream. Packs a punch. Much like Blake Burke, the Vols are going to need him this weekend. That's going to be a great matchup. Not just with Paul Skeens, but let's talk about it. Here's the pitching matchups for this weekend. It's a Thursday through Saturday tilt. Skeens and Nolander start things off tonight. Friday night will be Ty Floyd and Chase Burns. Saturday will feature Thatcher Hurd versus Drew Beam. Man, it's this is so nasty, man. So Paul Skeens, going, you look at his outing last week against Arkansas, it was a no decision, but he was lights out. Seven innings, gave up a run, 12 K, three walk. The relief for LSU in that game gave up eight runs. You know, that was the crazy one that went into extras and Arkansas ended up blowing them out. On Friday, Ty Floyd, he was better against Arkansas, but against A&M in that first SEC matchup, he gave up five runs in three and a third. In total, when you match up Ty Floyd with the SEC bat so far, 9.2 innings, seven runs, 10 K, four walk. Ty Floyd is a riser in terms of prospects. He's a fastball slider heavy kind of guy. And then on Saturday, you have Thatcher Hurd. He's five and a third, eight hits, six runs in the SEC, 7K to six walk. Nothing really, you know, he was good going, you know, kind of that non-conference schedule, pretty good. But in SEC play so far, nothing special about Thatcher Hurd. But, man, this offense, the Tigers' offense, will give these guys plenty of support. And, you know, trying to find the edge here in terms of, you know, how Tennessee can take this series, win a game. You absolutely can't get swept. But my question for you, Chuck, can the Vols take this series? And if so, do they have to take Friday night?
I mean, I don't think you necessarily have to take Friday night. You know, that's setting yourself up for a nearly impossible task. I mean, not necessarily impossible, but it's just if you have the mindset of to win this series, you know, we have to win Friday night against Paul Skeens or Thursday night against Paul Skeens on the road. Like, you know, that's a tough mindset to be in. But I think you can still win a series without winning this Thursday night opener. Because like you said, you know, Thatcher Hurd has been nothing, you know, super special in SEC play. I'm expecting Chase Burns to really step up this weekend too. I don't know what it is. I just have a good, you know, gut feeling about it. But I don't know. I like Tennessee in this series. I do. I like I was talking about earlier, you know, the environment, the hostility, the just, you know, nature of the entire series, the most anticipated series of the season. I think that this team's DNA is such that they're going to rise to the occasion. Yeah, I think Chase Dolander, given the opportunity to go head-to-head with Paul Skeens tonight, you know, you could see the first three picks in the draft in action tonight with Dolander, with Skeens, and with Dylan Cruz. Like, I think that, you know, Tennessee's going to respond, but I don't think you have to win this first one to still get the series.
Yeah, I actually agree. And, you know, I like the Sunday matchup for Tennessee. And you mentioned Chase Burns, man. I am super excited about what I've seen from him so far. The numbers aren't staggering. He's given up some runs. Some guys have found some barrels on him. But you got to remember, this is the best league in the country. And it's a farm system in certain ways. Like, these guys are good. These batters are really, really good. They're going to beat you from time to time. But if you look at the metrics and like the stuff plus category, Chase Burns is top five. He was top five all year last year. He's top five again so far this year. His stuff is nasty. And he's got so many weapons, a few different variations of breaking pitches, and he's got that rise and really good run on his fastball. You know, it's going to be – it's upper 90s, and I think there's more left in the tank in terms of looking out, projecting what the end of this year is going to look like for him. So, yeah, he's been nasty, but – Chase Dolander, the biggest question and the talk on social media and on the airwaves, man, the past few times he's rolled out there, he's had some rough starts. And it kind of goes back to last year a little bit, not so much last year, but his Vols debut. You know, he had a little bit of a rough one against Baylor down there in Houston. And what we've seen the past few outings from Chase, you had that Morehead State game, a 27-pitch first inning, and then the debacle in Como. And then last week, another 27-pitch inning against the Aggies. But one thing, a couple of positives here. Chase has not lost any velo, right? And so that's one of the most alarming things is if his fastball was a couple of ticks down, then yeah, be real concerned. He's not quite had the spin on his pitches up until last week. And last week we heard from Chase, you know, talked to him after the game. And that's when we discovered that, for one, Jerry Dickey started the game. That was his first start this year at catcher. And Chase Dolander had been using the PitchCom wristband. He didn't use it last year. He tried it this year up until this point and then ditched it against the Aggies. Said, you know what, I'm not comfortable with it. So there was some miscommunication going on there in the first inning. And clearly, after that, when things got going, he settled in and was like the Chase Dolander we're used to seeing. He didn't give up a hit from the third inning on. Like, and he was lights out. Here is what Doe had to say, asking about the PitchCom, and then also I asked him about one of the pitches he's been working in and that what I think is going to be a real weapon for him that involves spin going forward.
It is, yes. Yep.
How comfortable was that?
I actually prefer not having the PitchCom. I feel like it kind of – the PitchCom makes me go a little too quick, and so I don't, you know, do the things I need to do self-talk-wise and – you know, just, you know, kind of focus up and do what I want to do. I was getting a little too quick. So in that first inning, you know, I didn't have it, and Dickey didn't know that I didn't have it. So it kind of threw us off a little bit. But once we figured that out, it was good.
Part of the game plan coming into the season was working that curveball mm-hmm. you've been working on. How comfortable is that, and how's that been for you tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a lot more comfortable with it. You know, it was really, really good tonight. It kind of threw them off because – so much, like, it's not as hard as my other pitches, so it kind of messes with their timing. And you know, that's kind of the whole purpose of the pitch is just maybe steal a strike here and there, maybe, you know, throw off their timing, and I can do different things with it and you know, just kind of executing it the right way to enable to execute other pitches. It is.
So, Chuck, after seeing Dolander last week and hearing some of his comments, how much more confident are you than this time last week when we talked?
That's really interesting, the PitchCom thing. I had no idea that was happening. You know, I haven't really heard that even, like, talked about all that much. And I don't know. I mean, for me, that actually kind of changes my outlook a little bit. Because, I mean, you mentioned it, you know, those two weren't on the same page the first inning. And from then on out, you know, it has been, or at least it was, Friday, pretty smooth for Chase. I mean, the rest of the way, you know, gave up that one run in the second and that was it. And he kind of looks like a little bit more like his old self. You know, we got the 8 strikeouts, limited the walks for the most part. I have a lot more – I wouldn't say a lot more because it's not like my confidence was necessarily lacking. I'm a little bit less concerned, I guess is the right way to put it, than I was a week ago. You know, I think that this is a big moment for Chase Dolander. This could even kind of be a turning point in the season for him. You know, if he can go out there and have a really good outing against Skeens and against this LSU lineup. And yeah, you know, I think maybe you put some of the rough patches to start the year behind you. But, you know, you mentioned it, the velo never dropped. And when that velo's not dropping, you know, it's hard to get overly concerned. I don't know how much merit there is to this, but seems like all three of these pitchers right now, Drew Beam, Chase Burns, and Chase Dolander, all have kind of fallen into a pattern of some slower starts. I wonder if there's just something, you know, ever so slightly even in the pregame, in the lead up to the game, in the preparation, you know, beforehand, and just going through your exercises, going through your bands, getting loose. If there's any minor tweaks that maybe could be made to have these guys more locked in from first pitch.
Yeah, and the pitch comp thing is interesting. I feel like it could help some guys. I wouldn't. Personally, I don't think I could do it.
Not me at all.
But if you're – I could maybe see the argument if you're a guy that needs to keep your mind from wandering and, like, zero in and focus on, okay, this is the call, and then you got the pitch clock thing going on too, so it's like – a guy that needs to work fast and need to, maybe it helps him some way, but I don't know. I couldn't do it. But we saw that he and Dickey were able to be an outstanding battery once the second, third inning rolled around. So Dickey knew he was going to start midweek. Of course, we didn't know until the day of, shortly before the lineups were posted. But, man, Dickey's such a good athlete. I mean, if he can stay at catcher and catch, like, be a primary catcher and not get hurt, like, I would love that. I'd love to see it. It just scares the life out of me because that guy has taken so much wear and tear on his body already. He walks like an 80-year-old man trotting out to the outfield. It's painful to watch him go out to the outfield, but he's a warrior. But yeah, you may be right. Maybe there's something with some preparation. It's early in the season. We're just now getting warm weather. So if those guys are like me, man, I thrive in the hot weather. I hate the cold weather. I can only imagine what it does for, you know, the type of pitches and the grips these guys are working with. So we'll see. I'm sure it's going to be hotter in Baton Rouge than it is in Knoxville. And it's pretty mild here in Knoxville. And can't wait for more SEC ball, more warm weather, opening day.
76 in Baton Rouge right now.
76. Oh, man.
84 tomorrow. 88 on Saturday.
Man, that sounds nice. Well, another one that is hot down in Baton Rouge, Dylan Cruz, man. Let's talk about him for a second. Is this a future national, Charlie?
I mean, I'm watching a national tonight in some capacity. I feel pretty confident in that. I don't know if Cruz is making it past the first pick.
He's the 1-1 right now.
I mean, if anyone's passing him at this point, it feels like it's teammate, but
yeah.
You read his stats, and you have to read him a second and a third and a fourth time because it doesn't seem like it's real life. How is it possible for him to be batting .542? Can anyone explain
After 2 weeks of SEC play?
In Arkansas, too. Like, that was one of the SEC teams you played. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And it's almost like how good he's been has distracted from the rest of this lineup too, because it's not like there are a lot of breaks. You know, Tommy White is, he's only batting .390. Oh, that's cool. That's casual. Well, what about their other guys? Jared Jones. Well, okay. He's batting .352. Are there any other breaks? Well, not quite, you know, Gavin Dugas is batting 333, and even Trey Morgan, the worst of the bunch in terms of batting average. I mean, we know he's a stud.
Yep.
310. But Dylan Cruz, man, is unbelievable. I don't know at this point how you pitch to him.
No, I don't either. And, you know, I think this matchup comes down to, I think the management and the execution of the bullpens will be the key to the series. And we've talked about, I mean, Tennessee by far has the depth over LSU. I'm not particularly crazy about LSU's staff. You know, once you get past the rotation, once you get into the pen, Garrett Edwards is a guy that caught my eye last weekend against Arkansas. He's got a big curveball, man, and he was nasty last week. Looked really good. He has 24 strikeouts to just 4 walks in 20 and 2/3 inning. Opponents are batting 153 against Edwards. He is my one to watch. When you look at guys like Riley Cooper, Blake Money, your household LSU names, like, they haven't particularly been there just yet. But, I mean, those guys, we know they're talented. But Christian Little, they're trying to move him into that closer role, that lights-out closer role. He's a transfer from Vanderbilt. And then Chase Shores, he's another good one out of the pen. But I'm taking the Vols pen all day long. I mean, with what they've got, Seth Halverson, Andrew Lindsey, Camden Sewell, Zach Joyce. I mean, it just goes on, man. And if Tennessee can make it a bullpen game, I would like to see three times, but just twice. Make it a bullpen game twice. Man, I really like their chances. So what do you think, Charlie? Am I being too bullish on the Vols pen?
No, I mean, I think that's – if you're looking for an edge in this series, like, I think that's the edge. Maybe, you know, maybe your other edge is Drew Beam on Saturday against, you know, Thatcher Hurd. But, yeah, I think your biggest edge is that bullpen. And if you're Tennessee, with how deep that pen is, I would be more than happy to have a pretty quick hook this weekend. You know, I'd be more than willing to make moves to that bullpen frequently and to really – utilize that strength, utilize that depth. But, you know, I think if you get to a point where in these games it's bullpen versus bullpen and you have a one-run lead or you have a tied game or you have, a one-run deficit to try to overcome, the advantage definitely swings in Tennessee's favor. You know, I think you're spot on with your assessment of the bullpens.
Yeah, and as you mentioned – it's not just the Dylan Cruz show. He'll steal the show probably, but yeah, there are other guys. Four guys with an 1100 OPS or higher. Those four guys also have 7 or more home runs. When you talk about Tommy White, Jared Jones, Gavin Dugas to go along with Cruz, so can't wait for it. But we got to ride with our boys, man. I want that Rocky Top feeling. French Quarter high gets old real quick. And sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Vols will definitely need the ball to bounce their way sometimes, I think. But if you execute in those areas where you do have the edge and then find another area where you can luck into one or, you know, a guy steps up. And I mean, we've seen it a little bit, right? Like we've had Kavaris Tears moments. We've had Dylan Dreiling moments. We've had Hunter Ensley moments last weekend. Hunter Ensley looked great out there. You're going to need that. You're going to need one of those guys, and it's going to be this lineup, the bottom of it. We've talked about it. It continues to be a mix and match rotating thing. We'll see how it looks down in Baton Rouge. That's another thing I'm watching. How do these guys, the less experienced guys, how do they respond to tough moments in an environment like that? Because that's going to be a real uncomfortable at bat right out of the gate going up against Paul Skeens. So how do those guys respond to tough moments in the box. You want to hop on this SEC slate and look at some of the other matchups, Chuck?
Yeah, that works for me. I mean,
we can run through it real quick because I don't really, to be honest with you, I've been hitting the MLB in terms of betting for what's on the slate this week. Plus, it's an early start, right? It's where the balls are starting on a Thursday. So we had to kind of mix things up this week. But Missouri and Kentucky, Missouri is looking a little bit more depleted now. Chandler Murphy, good news for him. Looks like he'll be back possibly this weekend, but very soon. But they've already lost Newbeck. They're starting to catch some injury bugs, man. Hate to see it. South Carolina and Mississippi State. Our guy, Will Sanders, is not going to pitch this weekend. Eli Jones is going to get the start tonight against Mississippi State. That's the other SEC game. Georgia and Vanderbilt. Georgia, what a rough start, man. They dropped one to Georgia Southern to make matters worse after being swept last weekend against the Red Hot Commodores. And then you got Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Trying to, you know, see, I mean, the loser of that series, if somebody gets swept, they're really, really in the, you know, left for dust. Even if a team is able to take a game, man, that's going to be an interesting one. Charlie, what are some of the matchups this weekend that you're looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I mean, you just said it there at the end, Ole Miss and Texas A&M. Two teams that I think very highly of, but, you know, the truth of the matter is one of these teams is going to leave this weekend in really bad shape. And, you know, it's kind of the brutality that is the SEC. I mean, you know, it's not like either of these teams necessarily from a talent perspective deserve to potentially be winless or, you know, have one or two SEC wins and to be well in the hole. But, you know, one of these teams is going to be. So I'm really interested to see, you know, both of those teams just kind of fight, you know, to see what kind of fight they have to see who ultimately comes out of that. You know, it feels like a loser goes home type series.
Ole Miss is winless after two weekends. Right. What is going on?
And they were like top, you know, 10 in the country.
Both Mississippi schools, by the way. 0-12. It's crazy.
That's bad. That is brutal. When you put it like that, that's the series, though. That is the one I'm outside of, obviously, the obvious that I'm looking forward to.
Kentucky
could be a little interesting. None of these other series really move the needle all that much for me. It's a rare weekend in the SEC where there's not, you know, two or three or four, like, big-ticket series.
I was way off on Kentucky. I think everybody was. But I do think – I would be selling Kentucky right now, you know, if I had shares. I do not think being a ranked team for them is sustainable with what they have. But you can't argue the pitching that's come to form to this point. It's going to be interesting to see. I actually want to see that one and see the betting lines. Because like I said, Missouri – already getting depleted on the pitching side of things, and they really can't afford that. It was a situation where you had to have Chandler Murphy, you had to have Newbeck either as a starter or a glue guy out of the pen, and to go along with Losey and Franklin, some other good arms that they have. They do have the offensive power, I think, to hang, but I don't know. I'm real concerned about Missouri now after some injuries. I'm anxious to see Eli Jones, South Carolina, see if he can pick up the win. I like Mahoney and Noah Hall just as much as I like the starters from Vanderbilt last week going up against Mississippi State. But I it'll be interesting to see can the Gamecocks in that high flying offense zip past Mississippi State just like Vandy did. So yeah, that's what I'm looking at. But it all the headliner without a question, the heavyweight fight is Tennessee LSU down in Baton Rouge. What is 8 p.m. tonight, Chuck?
You know, that's a great question. Honestly, it is. Yeah, it's 8 p.m. I thought it was earlier. Damn, 8 p.m.? That's kind of late.
The other one is earlier. Tennessee LSU is ESPNU, 8 p.m.
Yeah. Then tomorrow, Friday night, is 7 on SEC Network. And Saturday, you bring it on home with a little 2 p.m. first pitch.
Yep. So can't wait to see it. This one's going to be I hope it lives up to the billing because it's what a weekend to start. Opening day and MLB, and then you've got Tennessee and LSU, which contains when you talk about not just this draft, but the 2024 class. Just so many prospects on both sides for each team. What a way to kick things off now that baseball is fully here. We're going to have you covered, folks. If you like betting and you get in that the gambling arena, we've got you covered at the Picket Sports app. Go download the Picket app. It's free. Just be sure to use promo code 920LOGAN. You'll even get a few bucks. You'll get $3. You have a 1 in 100 shot of getting $100. It takes care of all your, bet tracking in terms of units and ROI. You just be sure to sync a sports book. You just have to sync one. You can sync like me. I sync every single one of them. That way it tracks everything. It creates a community space for us to get together, talk about our bets, post our bets, follow each other. There's no better time than now. I've already got a couple in there for MLB. The first one, if you saw on Twitter, I posted the Braves first five run line. If you have an odds boost, I know some of these books are doing odds boost and promotional things for MLB. I used my odds boost for that and got plus money on it. So how are we doing on that, Chuck? What's the score?
Well, it's 4-1 and to
what no inning?
Surprise, Patrick Corbin did not make it out of the fourth.
No surprise there. So they're in the fourth?
Yeah, it's the bottom of the fourth right now. It looks like trainers are out to check on Max Fried, and they're pulling him from the game, actually.
Well, what a way to end the podcast.
Well, you know, both of us are having a bad opening day. What's the biggest storyline this year to me? It's not can the Padres finally buy their way to an NL West. It's not the battle that is the NL East. It's not the injuries. It's not will Shohei Ohtani get traded. It's not, you know, Juan Soto's future. To me, the biggest storyline in the MLB is will Patrick Corbin make it through the fifth inning long enough or, you know, enough times to be a qualified starting pitcher this year from a statistical standpoint? Because last year he was so bad and got pulled so early in so many games that he didn't have enough innings to qualify. That's the biggest storyline.
I love him as an opening day starter, Chuck. I don't know about you, but
is it the 0-8 record with the ERA above 8 against the Braves in the last 4 years?
Lock that guy up.
Oh, man. By the way, while we were doing this too, I don't know if you got the alert. The Mets just continue to met Justin Verlander.
Verlander, yeah. I saw that literally as we were logging on to do this. Yeah, we'll try to save the MLB talk for another podcast because we got to get out of Dodge. But, yeah, that's the Mets. We're going to be talking about the NL East heavy, and we share a lot of the same opinions on some of the teams in terms of the futures and things like that. But as far as today, if you want a few picks for later, some of the late afternoon slate, I've got Shane McClanahan, over 5.5 strikeouts. What's that?
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I said I have that same bet.
Yeah, I grabbed it last night, so I'm sure the price is long gone. I got it at minus 155. Over 2.5 runs, Philly and Texas. Over 2.5 runs with the Mets and Marlins. And what I did, I know these are juicy. The prices are going to be, the odds are going to be, you know, price is going to go up on these and probably already have. I was burning the midnight oil, scalping some of these early lines and positive EV plays. These are all positive EV, by the way. And I put them in a round robin. So the payout is, you know, it's a little less risk. The payout's a little less, but if you don't feel like doing these as singles, do this round robin, because you're not going to lose that much, you know, if you go 2 out of 3. But I like them all as singles. I really do. Or you can play them as a parlay. So that's what I've got for today. Follow us on Picket. Download the Picket Sports app. We'll have more MLB bets coming this season. I'll be rolling out some college baseball bets. I don't know about tonight, but definitely this weekend. Red hot last weekend, 4-0 over the weekend. Thank you, Vanderbilt. We also hit a little round robin action. We were up over 4.5 units last weekend. So coming in to week 3 of SEC, smoking hot. Charlie, any bets, MLB, college baseball, you want to get off your chest before we depart?
I'm betting on the Marlins tonight. I am betting on the Marlins. I love the fact that you can get the reigning Cy Young winner at plus money at home tonight against a Mets team that seems to have nothing but bad juju. I'm hammering the Marlins. Yeah, again, they're plus money on the money line. And in terms of MLB bets, not a ton else that like I absolutely love, you know, at least the value on some of these bets. Maybe a little interested in the Phillies, even though they have to go up against DeGrom on the road. You know, DeGrom, his curse is that he never gets run support. Is that going to change in Texas? We'll see. I play some futures too. You're going to like this one. I placed a Matt Olson MVP future.
Love it.
And I placed a Jared Schuster Rookie of the Year future.
Love it, man. Yeah, like, it's so hard for me because I like a lot of those Braves futures, and I tend to lay off. Like, if it's extreme value, I'm going to go value over my bias. But I'm just so biased, and it's so hard for me to play. I don't want any of my Lokstradamus juju getting in the mix. You know what I mean? I just the projection systems love the Braves. And I agree with the market. You got to respect the market, and I tend to agree with what you're saying with your picks and some of the other projections and the price on in the market for some of the Braves plays. And by the way, I think I misspoke. You mentioned the Philly game, the Marlins game. I mentioned the matchups. Want to be clear on the teams. Philly over 2.5 runs and the Marlins over 2.5 runs.
All right. So, I like it.
So let's do it. Any parting thoughts, Chuck, before we get out of Dodge?
I just really hope this team responds, man. I want to see this team step up tonight. I want to see this team step up this weekend. I want to see this pitching staff specifically. You know, there's no better time than right now. It is that part in the season where you're flipping the calendar over to April. You know, things are starting to heat up. The weather's starting to heat up. And it would be the perfect time for Tennessee to heat up. And, you know, conversely, if things don't go all that well this weekend, you're not that far off from the same kind of tough spot that A&M and Ole Miss find themselves in this weekend. A good team that, you know, due to the brutality of the SEC has piled up some losses. You know, you didn't afford yourself all that many luxuries of being able to lose some games after you got swept by Missouri. You know, getting swept by Missouri now means that you have to go win some games that maybe some people thought that you shouldn't. And tonight, again, is that great, great opportunity, and you're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. You're going to hear it the second you get off the bus, the second you walk into that field, warming up. You're going to have – this team's going to have things said to them that are foul. You know, this team's going to have things said to them that are some of the worst things they've probably heard from LSU fans tonight. And, you know, I'm sure there are LSU players that have had similar experiences in Knoxville. It is going to be peak SEC hostility, and I would love nothing more than just to shut those guys up, man. I would love nothing more than to just let those guys bitch and moan and yap for another year after the Tennessee Vols shut their ass down.
Love to hear it. Would love to see it. Chuck, thank you. By the way, I'll send out my two future plays. Pittsburgh Pirates over 67.5 wins.
Love it. I'm on that too.
Angels 40-1 to win the World Series.
Hate it.
Stock market play. Stock market play, Chuck.
Nope. My one rule every year is I bet against the Angels in every single capacity.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on the MLB pod. We'll roll out. For now, I'm Logan Quinton. He's Charlie Collier at LDQ Sports and at C Collier 64. It's time for the Baton Rouge, the Battle of Baton Rouge tonight at 8 p.m. Can't wait to see how it unfolds. Folks, we'll talk about it next week. Thanks for joining us. We're out.